When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final time, Pro Football Today is live out here in Las Vegas from the FanDuel Sportsbook set. Sports Grid with you, Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi, Donnie Wrightside, Mike Blewett steps up and in here for Ben Stevens as our coverage of Super Bowl 58 continues. The San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I thought it would be appropriate if we put these two quarterbacks against one another here to open up this show, because when you break down this game, so often Purdy versus Mahomes dominates the conversation. And you look through the season that these guys had, and clearly one was better than the other. More passing yards, passing touchdowns, less interceptions, better yards per attempt, better passer rating, better QBR. And that, of course, was MVP Purdy robbed. We all know it. That's just the reality of the situation. Look, a bit tongue-in-cheek, I'm aware of what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. But do you feel this is as lopsided, Mike, as many do?
No, I don't think so. Fired up to be with you guys here on the FanDuel set. And the reality is Patrick Mahomes, 10-1-1 against the number as an underdog with 9 straight-up wins in the playoffs, 3-0 straight-up as an underdog. So even though, and the last two times these teams played in the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes wasn't at his best, and he still pulled it out in the end and won the Super Bowl MVP.
I got to tell you this as well. We know Patrick Mahomes is a fantastic quarterback, but as Kevin pointed out, an MVP possible season for Purdy. The question is, Kevin, with all the pressure buildup, is Purdy going to be able to succeed in the Super Bowl versus Mahomes?
Look, it is a fair question, but I think we saw major pressure moments in the NFC postseason, and Purdy answered the bell in those moments. Our radio audience is live on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. You are listening to, you are watching. Watching Sports Grid's Pro Football Today with Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, and Mike Blewett, and of course, Joe Lisi. A quarterback battle that, again, many feel leans Mahomes in a big way.
Yeah, I think we're on the same side, though, in terms of Brock Purdy. We talk about his explosiveness, 6 games in terms of 300 passing yard performances, the back-to-back come from behind wins against Detroit and Green Bay. You look at the interceptions just for Patrick Mahomes this year, 14 interceptions. That's a cause of concern for me. I think Brock Purdy is the more consistent quarterback, Kevin.
Yeah, and when you think about these QBs here, if this was, and we all know this, if the Super Bowl was a 7-game series, a 5-game series, at the end of it, Mahomes and his numbers, they would look better. We all know that. But the nature of the NFL postseason, which is why we don't always just have one seed versus one seed, is it's single game elimination. And that is all it takes. And Mike, I thought you were, and rightfully so, probably the kindest to Mahomes there, mainly because I know Joe and I are already locked in on the Niners. But for Mahomes, look, I don't think anybody could disagree that if Brock Purdy outplayed him in this singular game, it wouldn't be stunning.
No, I don't think so. I think very oftentimes we make the mistake of because we're taking a side, people automatically assume you're denigrating the other player. But that's not the case here. This Niners offense and the way Purdy engineers it has been fantastic. It's the best in the league when all things are going right. They haven't been going right this playoffs. The Chiefs have shown you a couple of different looks, and they were able to possess the ball for a short period of time, get a victory, and then drain the clock against the Ravens and get a victory.
You know, they're doing it different ways as well, guys. You take a look at Patrick Mahomes playing that front runner role, which, again, he's a good quarterback. Usually the Chiefs are going to be in the lead. But the one team that we do talk about as being the true front runners is the San Francisco 49ers. You see them in the playoffs, not front runners. Brock Purdy having to be under pressure and make the plays at the right time, which includes his feet as well. He was pretty impressive in that divisional round and also in the NFC Championship game when they were just trying to get wins, not actually carry the day over. So again, I'm looking forward to this game overall because I need to see Brock Purdy on the biggest stage. He's won two football games now coming from behind. That's a start. Let's see if he can carry it over here, Joe, yeah, once we get to the big game.
Absolutely. I think the numbers suggest that in terms of when you see San Francisco, 251 passing yards per game. You look at the rushing attack with Christian McCaffrey, 138 yards per game on the ground. And look at Pat Mahomes in terms of wins, 283 passing yards. But in the losses, Kev, 226 passing yards. He hasn't really stepped up. He's been turnover prone in terms of certain types of situations. Mm-hmm. And if that defense for San Francisco can put him into predictable situations, especially on third downs, I think they will have an advantage in this ballgame. Give Brock Purdy an opportunity at short field or maybe the opportunity to score more points in this matchup.
Look, again, MVP Purdy will be something that we root in until the very end here. With that said, though, I hope in talking about the regular season statistical dominance of Brock Purdy in this head-to-head. Well, Mahomes, having played one more game, but still nevertheless, is in front in every single one of those categories, and not just the total categories, right, which is determined yards and touchdowns, but the efficiency so far has been better for Pat in the playoffs there, and some of that is Pat elevating his game, but and as much as I trust it can flip around on Sunday, Donnie, we have not seen Brock even flirt with his best football in the postseason, and for a lot of people, that's concerning.
Yeah, not even what you're talking about is like not flinching either in the biggest moments. Again, talking about them as a front-running team, the San Francisco 49ers, and you say to yourself, well, what's Brock Purdy do well? Well, he does just about everything well, and during the season, and the losses, okay, they get three or four losses in the middle of that run, but at the end of the season, I love to see him stepping up, because the one thing we always question is, can Brock Purdy actually lead a comeback here? Well, we've seen him do that. Nobody's ever going to question Patrick Mahomes if they're down in the football game, and Kevin and I have joked about this many times over the years. If the game is 17-0 with the Chiefs of the past 2 to 3 years, are you turning the TV off? No, because by the half, it's probably going to be a tie game. We expect that out of Patrick Mahomes. But Brock Purdy showed us a lot over the past 2 weeks in the biggest moments here that should translate into the Super Bowl.
And battle-tested, that mental adversity. You talk about the game against Detroit. Yeah. He wasn't down just seven. He was down 17 points at the half, guys. Led and engineered the second-half comeback. Yes, the defense gave him some opportunities, but he played very well. Went through the reads, and that's going to be the matchup on Sunday afternoon.
You know, too, one thing, Mike, we just kind of popped up the Brock Purdy postseason resume.
Yeah.
And it's a small sample size. The only game he's ever lost in the playoffs is a game he was injured in, against Philadelphia. Like,
sure.
He has not lost a playoff game yet. That has to count for something.
I agree. And like I said earlier, this isn't anything against Purdy. It's just that Joe mentioned something earlier, which is important. Mahomes right now, 4 touchdowns and no picks in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco is not good on third down. They have not been getting teams off. They have not been getting off the field. And I just think that while it needs to be short and medium on third down, I still think Pat Mahomes can pick up a lot of first downs against that San Francisco defense.
It's going to be intriguing. You look at the ball game against San Francisco years ago, right? They were under 40% in terms of third down offense. If that's going to be the situation Sunday night, San Fran has a difference.
Yeah, well, again, we're going to be able to continue to talk this through. And one thing I do appreciate about this game, because it's fun to talk about, even if it will likely frustrate me till the very end, the quarterbacks are the most important, but for some, the running backs are not far behind. Christian McCaffrey opposed by Isaiah Pacheco. We break that matchup down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid live from the FanDuel Sportsbook set out here in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay. It's Pro Football Today. It's Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi, Donnie Wrightside, and Mike Blewett with you on this Friday morning. And this is our last podcast. Run it back.
Yeah,
run
it back. That's what you do. I love it.
End of the week.
It is our last chance out here in Vegas to talk through some of these key head-to-heads. And look, in the same way that Purdy isn't going to be defending Mahomes, and Isaiah Pacheco's not going to have to try and fill the B gap to tackle Christian McCaffrey, though I wouldn't mind seeing Pacheco take a swing at it. Mike, I know that you feel Pacheco has the chance to have a real standout game here against the Niners.
Yeah, for no other reason that the Chiefs have shown that they have become far more concentrated with their offense, right? This is a Kelce, Pacheco, Rashee Rice offense right now. And Pacheco touching the ball 28 times against the Ravens was just yet another game where they overloaded him with a number of touches so that he could be successful. It's why, as we go throughout the morning, you'll see I have a lot of Pacheco bets that I think could work out, Donnie.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at the running back position in this game because I do believe, again, outside the quarterbacks, which always the most important thing, running backs guys are going to win this football game for me. It's easy to sit here and say Christian McCaffrey is going to have a great game. Why? Every week he has a great game, it really feels like here, hovering around that 90-and-a-half-yard prop here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But I think if you say to me, the key to the football game overall, it's probably Isaiah Pacheco. How he goes, the Chiefs go. Well, Donnie, how could that be? You got Travis Kelce. You know, you also have a great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. But hear me out on this. If you're able to establish the running game, which means 4.5 to 5 yards per carry, keep yourself in front of the sticks, that's going to be a big shot here for Kansas City. And Joe, I'm going to throw it to you on this because I would like your opinion as well. If Isaiah Pacheco doesn't run well in this game, I don't mean usage rate, I mean like 3 yards per carry, I don't see a pathway to victory for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, great point. I agree wholeheartedly. I think you can make the argument, guys, that Isaiah Pacheco is more important than Christian McCaffrey in terms of this ball game because of how the Chiefs won in terms of lower scoring games. They did score 51 in the win against Buffalo, but again, they want this game in the 20s. We all talk about that's the MO for Spagnuolo and that defense. Keep them in the fourth quarter, grind it out, give Patrick Mahomes an opportunity in terms of manageable third down situations. If McCaffrey doesn't go in this ball game, and let's just say he gets shut down for 50 yards, he can still catch the football out of the backfield. There's still George Kittle there, Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, and you could use Deebo Samuel as it relates to the rushing attack on fly sweeps. He's a spark plug type of player. Isaiah Pacheco doesn't rush potentially for 89, 90 yards in this ballgame. I think Kansas City is going to be up against it. And to Donnie's point, Kev, we talk about usage rate. 24 carries in two of the three playoff games. The other game, it was 16. His number is in the area 15.5, 16. He needs to hit that number, which if he doesn't, means Pat Mahomes and that offense is trailing potentially all second half.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing with Pacheco, though, where he basically just, like everybody on this team, falls in line with the MO of Kansas City. Great start to the game. He's running hilariously and effectively. Then for a big chunk of it, does a whole bunch of nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, hey, could you ice out this last drive for us? Yeah, no problem. 6 yards per carry all of a sudden on a first and 10 where they need to try and run up and get a stop here. I don't disagree that if you show me the Pacheco final score, at minimum you'll know whether or not, you know, final stat line, whether Casey hung around. But if I did swap Pacheco out for Hilaire, it's a drop-off. But this is where now all of a sudden I'm defending McCaffrey. CMC's two-way ability is what separates him from every other running back in this league, as well as his ability to consistently find the end zone. There's sometimes I watch him, and I think to myself, man, every running back could score like this if they play for the... Every running back has played for the Niners, and they don't score like this. Now, there's been a lot of running backs that have had success there before, right? Raheem Mostert, of course, comes to mind, but McCaffrey has taken it to another level. One offensive player of the year last night with the NFL awards that were given out, Mike. So, for McCaffrey, there isn't, and that's why he so consistently stands out. There is not a game script where he doesn't remain massively important to what the Niners do.
I totally agree. And you make a great point about how he's able to do that from a multiple standpoint and catching passes. Anytime you look at the Christian McCaffrey stat lines, you're looking to see what the total yardage is. You're not focused specifically on his rushing yards. With Pacheco, you're talking about stat line, whether he hung around. But if Pacheco sees 20-plus carries, that's a really positive sign for the Chiefs. McCaffrey, he's getting 20 touches no matter what the success rate is for him and the Niners.
Exactly. And the success rate for the Niners, you say to yourself, if they find themselves down 2 touchdowns, he's still going to get his. Maybe not from so much a carry perspective, but certainly in the passing game. That's the worry for Isaiah Pacheco. If you're looking for an anytime touchdown market, if you're looking for an over carries market, or even just his yards, which are hovering in the high 60s right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, that's what you have to gauge. Because if the game script and the game flow is, you think Kansas City's going to win this game, guys, you're probably going to really like Isaiah Pacheco's stats here. But if you can tell me right now the halftime score is a double-digit lead for San Francisco, that's going to spell signs of doom for Isaiah Pacheco. But also, at the end of the football game, you talk about like salting games away. How many times have we seen him at the end? Run right up the middle, looks like a 2-yard gain, and that entire pile moves another 2.5 to 3 yards here. That's the type of access he can provide in getting first downs late in the game. I like Isaiah Pacheco. I do. I just don't know if that success is going to be there in this football game enough for the Chiefs to carry that offense.
You know, again, I think for Pacheco, one reason I'm not on him is, I mean, we talked about yesterday, I have the Niners winning by a billion, right? Yeah. So that would just not make a ton of sense ultimately in this game. Where are you looking to bet McCaffrey in this matchup against KC?
I'm looking for McCaffrey, guys, in the receiving game because I think his explosiveness and mismatch in terms of a linebacker or a nickelback could be very critical to Brock Purdy's progression in this ballgame, especially if they utilize McCaffrey out on the flank early, different types of schemes and formations. I don't think they're going to line up and run Christian McCaffrey right into that front seven. Front seven has been very good for Kansas City, only giving up 108 rushing yards per game. And again, they've been very good in terms of third down defense, one of the top 15 in terms of the league. So that's how they've been winning ball games in regards to that. I will say to Donnie's point in how we maybe should just challenge and attack Pacheco. If you want to bet Pacheco, and let's say you don't like the big 69.5-point number, maybe you attack it in terms of first half carries. And the reason why I say that as well is because look at the success that Detroit and Green Bay have had on the ground with Montgomery and Gibbs and then Aaron Jones over the last couple of games. Kansas City, I believe, will look to attack that, whereas at San Francisco, I think we'll utilize McCaffrey in the passing game.
Am I the only one who's crazy enough to say that Aaron Jones didn't play that well in that game?
He didn't play well. He didn't play that well, but the first couple of drives, they were running the football on that front seven.
Yes.
And I expect Kansas City to do the same thing, to at least test it early because of the lack of explosive plays that they have had.
This is where, again, like, this is why I can't sometimes believe people are picking this team. I'm serious. Like, yeah, they should run Pacheco early. They should run Pacheco late. Nobody believes in this pass game. No matter how many times people will close out a breakdown on Kansas City with, well, I have Pat Mahomes, the breakdowns always seem to funnel through. Well, I think this defense will hold the Niners in check.
Yeah, but anybody that watched the Bills game knows that he ran a quick strike offense. They had the ball for 23 minutes. They scored 27 points.
Yeah.
And he was really effective. He only threw the ball 23 times. Mm-hmm. He was very efficient. And it's just Rice and Kelce, a little bit of Pacheco, although he's not effective in the receiving game. And I'm with you. I think that's the way to attack McCaffrey. But I think it's a little bit too much, and it's getting compared to the Niners' offense, which is so multiple and so diverse that it ends up making Kansas City's offense look less than it is.
But I think it's probably, Mike, because it is so much less than what we have come to expect from it.
Yeah, they're a victim of their own success.
You know? And also, again, look, you get credit for playing who you playing, but I still just, how injured Buffalo was in that game.
Of course.
Like, the way that played out wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the most stunning
thing. They had the ball for 23 minutes, though. You have to give them credit for being that efficient.
Well over 9 yards per pass attempt. No doubt about it. He was absolutely, absolutely excellent. Coming up next, though, we're going to get into these pass catchers here and who will be the key guys. Kelce and Kittle, of course, are going to get their looks. Debo, Ayuk, Rashee Rice, and who else for Kansas City? We'll look to answer that question here on Pro Football Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live with you here on Pro Football Today. We've talked QBs. We've talked RBs. Little wide receivers, of course, the tight ends as well. And incredibly, I mean, that's two out of three now, which you got to appreciate. That's pretty high.
Play the odds.
Yeah. Where is it?
Yeah.
That's two out of three. Double down.
All right. Enough with this guy's nuts, man. So we have the quarterback battle, right, which is a really fun conversation. We have the running back where it's very similar, right? Pacheco gets his respect, but we know what McCaffrey is. Kelce Kittle's really interesting because Kelce's had a great playoffs, but didn't really. I mean, his regular season conversation around Kelce was, this is coming to an end, isn't it? Kittle, because he's a part of this team, is never going to get the workload that will allow him to compete number for number with Travis. But we all know how spectacular of a player he is in this specific game. Mike, are you looking to back one of these tight ends heavily?
I wouldn't say that Kittle never gets the workload. There are games consistent in which he explodes. So, and this could be that game, but obviously Kelce's such a big part of this offense, Donnie, that the 11 catches against Baltimore, against high level inside linebackers, that's going to happen again here against Greenlaw and Fred Warner. But in talking with Warren Sharp earlier this week, we had a really interesting conversation about how to attack those Niners linebackers in that defense, and it's getting to the outside. And Kelce, amongst all tight ends in the league, led the league with 393 receiving yards when his nearest defender was a linebacker. So he is still able to dominate even high-level competition.
And you know what I'm most impressive of all from Travis Kelce is, we can probably agree he's lost a step. But again, being one of the best tight ends, if not the best of all time, you're still going to be able to manage. But he didn't have the season he wanted in the way of maybe, let's just say, scoring touchdowns. And he turned the gas on here in the playoffs, which is what you love. But when we take a look at George Kittle and how good he is as a tight end, he has a lot of weapons around him. So we talk about Kyle Shanahan as a great schemer, of course. But when you have Deebo Samuel to worry about, when you have Brandon Ayuk to worry about, and as well as Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, you're going to be running wide open patterns over the middle because you're getting one-on-one coverage. The thing that makes it most interesting about Kelce is you head into the playoffs, and what do we know about the Chiefs? They want to get the ball to Kelce. That shows you how good Andy Reid is at scheming him to get open. And also, the biggest players making the biggest plays in the biggest games, that's what he does. So if we're trying to look at maybe the MO, who do you like better between tight ends here? I think Kittle at this point here, Joe, is the more explosive tight end, but opportunities, it's going to be Kelce for me.
Yeah, I disagree in the one sense, Donnie, because you want to take away the number one option. Mm-hmm. And we know how dominant Travis Kelce has been, especially statistically. 31 receptions, 260 yards, two touchdowns in regards to the playoff performances. He has definitely stepped up. Obviously, the 11 reception, 100-yard performance sticks out. If I'm now the defense for San Francisco, I want to take away Travis Kelce from this offense. I think you look at it and you correlate it to the middle portion of the season. We saw this with Travis Kelce, a three-game stretch in the middle part of the year. He had around 30 receptions, over 200 yards, one touchdown, Kev. He fell off the back-to-back games after that. It was like a 60 yards combined for about eight receptions in regards to that short to intermediate throws. Does that happen in terms of this matchup? And when you look at Kittle, to Mike's point, Kittle is stepped up in losses this year. You look at statistically, you look one game against Cincinnati, seven receptions, 149 yards, because they were trailing for much of that ball game, and a couple of their losses as well, he jumped out. He has never been the main component when they have won and jumped up early. I think he is in terms of this matchup, and that's where I favor Kittle in this ball game.
Here's one of the interesting things I feel about Kittle, where he's like the one skill player from this elite Niners team that if he has a huge game, it's very good for Brock's chances to win Super Bowl MVP.
I agree with that.
That's just how that really feels to me, because it'll correlate to Brock averaging over 10 yards per attempt, multiple touchdown passes. But I want to mention this on Travis Kelce, and maybe this will work out for some people in the live markets. Averaging about 98 yards per game in the postseason so far, the splits are unimaginable. 73 of those, rounding up, come in the first half. He's averaging 15 yards per game in the postseason in the second half, which you can say all you want, it's because they're up huge. That's not true. They were up huge on Miami. They trailed at half against Buffalo. Now, they didn't have the ball as much, but still that was the case. And against Baltimore, at any moment they wanted to ice that game, they could have. I do think to some degree, Travis is stepping up in these playoffs for as much as he can, Mike, and that is 30 first half minutes is basically what he can step up for.
I understand what you're driving at. It's also the Chiefs trying to establish and take advantage of whatever they're willing to give them in the first half, right? So, and talking about Kittle as well, I do think the Kittle-Purdy connection is strong, but I also think it's related to, and we'll get into the other pass catchers later, about how I think these corners, Donnie, will eliminate Brandon Ayuk from a lot of the game planning. I don't really see him having an explosive game. And I think those extra touches do funnel more to Kittle than maybe anybody else on the team.
And by the way, you bring up like game flow and situations, right? We're not talking about, and again, no disrespect really to like the Detroit Lions, but you can say to yourself, it doesn't matter if you double cover anything. The back seven just isn't up to it. That's not the case on these two football teams here. Kansas City is very good on the back end, and so is San Francisco. And also, they do have some pretty good pass rushers on the front end. So when we talk about the tight end position and how that can work out, they might get a lot of opportunities just by circumstance. Hey, I'm bringing blitzes off the edge. What's your best friend? Tight end 5 yards over the middle. These are two really good tight ends, so the usage rate should be there, Joe, for both of these guys.
Yeah, Travis Kelce's definitely going to get some targets, especially early in terms of this ball game. But what I look at as well is I look at how San Francisco gave up a lot of yards, Kev, in regards to Green Bay and Detroit. They have the type of personnel to spread them out. That's the one thing I think that when you look at Kansas City is Rashee Rice, Valdez Scantling, and whoever's the third or fourth option for that offense going to be able to challenge that defense vertically to open up Travis Kelce underneath, because you look at Warner, you look at Greenlaw, they're going to potentially lock him down. It's going to have to be the other role players to step up, and I think we're in agreement as well. The lack of speed on the perimeter is something that is very telling for this team right now. Green Bay and Detroit exploited that. Kansas City, I don't think they can.
They have speed. Just none of them are all that good.
And that, Watson, yeah.
You know, again, and like that's the – we don't have to rewrite history. I'm like, MVS can beat anybody down the field. Could have done that at any point this year if he wanted to. He did it against Baltimore. Yeah. I'll say this with MVS is maybe he steps up in this game. I cannot get out of what happened with him last year. AFC title game was phenomenal. Yep. Over 100 yards and a score in the game. I don't think he caught a pass in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. They had more options last year. Tony and Sky Moore obviously found the end zone. The offense as a whole was just significantly better, right? Jerick McKinnon healthy. He, you know, eats into the pass catching work there. But the idea that MVS came off of that type of a performance in that type of a game and then did nothing in the Super Bowl is why I'm not running to MVS, despite him having the game-clinching catch against Baltimore, Mike.
Yeah, and Sky Moore has come back, and we're monitoring news on Jerick McKinnon as well. So does it allow them to spread the ball around a little bit more than we've seen? I don't know. I just think they've become a very concentrated offense. But other pass catchers as well that we haven't really discussed yet, Deebo Samuel is somebody's name that's come up a ton throughout the week, and people looking at how not just McCaffrey being somebody that has a bunch of options within the offense, but Deebo Samuel as well, Donnie. And if we're talking about Ayuk getting taken out of the game plan, I think it funnels some of those targets to Kittle, but it could just as easily be Deebo as well.
I love Deebo in this game. I really do. And I think most people do that are betting this football game, because if it's receptions, he can do that. If it's rushing yards, he gets that as well. Goal line carries, possibility also. The one thing you're not going to get, Mike, as you brought up from Brandon Ayuk, is those little rocket sweeps. That goes to Deebo Samuel.
That's right.
So when you're looking for the any touchdown market, maybe a market that's receptions and rushing, we're just to find the end zone. And also, he's that fun guy that's like, you know what, Kyle Shanahan, I know you're going to cook something up really, really good with 2 weeks to prepare for Deebo Samuel now that you know he's probably 100% healthy. So for me, you're looking at the aspect of the pass catchers themselves. I love Deebo. But just a quick point here on Valdez Scantling. It's always so tantalizing, guys. He's a big play wide receiver. 19.5 is his number for reception yards. 1.5 for catches.
Oh, my God.
I have to include him and take a flyer, Joe, somewhere. I
got to. He had 30 yards. He went to him in the game-clinching third-down conversion. It's amazing that he came up with that catch and reception. That's one play, Donnie, so I agree with you. I think we're in agreement in terms of Deebo Samuel. I just think in different types of ways. I like him in the rushing attack. You like him potentially in the passing game. He did have 8 receptions, 89 yards. I like his over rushing total, 16.5. I'm going to alt him up potentially to 40-plus at plus 460. I think the one player for me in terms of the passing attack for San Francisco that we really haven't discussed all week long, Kev, Brandon Ayuk, 7 games, 100 yards in regards to that. He has been the explosive spark plug for that offense, especially over the top. Had the big play against Detroit, phenomenal catch. I think he could have a big performance in terms of this contest. Don't keep an eye out for him. Maybe one touchdown, maybe two.
I like Ayuk as well. I think that's maybe a bit of a debate that you guys can have in the conversations that you guys have coming up here. We'll circle back to something that Mike said, and we'll eventually get these answers. But we are waiting to figure out who is going to be activated for Kansas City. And I feel like in a way that is pretty unique, because it's not that it's like, oh, we're trying to figure out if a very, very important player is coming back. It's any possible addition to this offense. You're going to take some time and think, okay, could they be the third guy in the pass-catching room here? Could possibly Kadarius Toney wake up? Could Jared McKinnon maybe somehow be involved in an important way? It makes for a fascinating conversation, and one will continue on the other side of this break right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Live from Las Vegas here on the FanDuel Set. Pro Football Today coming at you live from Las Vegas. So we're going to reset the entire game here. We've got Joe and Donnie here to help me through everything, and guys, we'll take one step back here and talk about where we sit right now. Obviously, the spread has gone up a little bit during the week, Donnie, indicating that there's a little bit more Niners money than there is Chiefs money at the moment. However, we all know that as we get closer to Sunday, it's where the real volume of bets starts to happen.
And by the way, the interesting point too, and it's fun to bring this topic up, Joe, as we'll talk about, and also Mike bringing it in, is where the money is actually going and pushing this line number. Opened up as that -3 opening number, pushed down for San Francisco down to around 1. Now we see it creep up to the 1.5, 2s, and now 2.5, guys, as we see late in the week. But if you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, they have an interesting thing where you can push on stats here to see where the money is actually going. How about this? 69% of the tickets and 76% of the money, Joe? The Kansas City Chiefs, the public favorite here.
Yeah, I could see that because of not just Travis Kelce, Mike, but obviously the Taylor Swift connection and Pat Mahomes being a 2-time Super Bowl champion. I think people just believe Pat Mahomes can elevate this team to the next level. What I do find interesting when we talk spread and when we talk total, we've seen market fluctuations as it relates to the spread. No market fluctuation at all in regards to the total, sitting firm at 47.5. I like the over, but it is interesting that we haven't seen it move not even a half a point.
Yeah, sort of poured in concrete here on the total at 47.5, an extremely sharp number. And I think there is some correlation here when it comes to the number. I think if you're an overbacker, you're leaning Niners. And I think if you are under the number, you're probably going to go towards the Kansas City Chiefs. That's where I reside. A lower scoring game favoring the Chiefs. Donnie, do you feel that correlation has to be that way?
Absolutely, it does, Mike. And just to double down on that point, let's go back to where the line has moved there and getting back to that 2.5. I don't think it's going to get to 3 at this point. But even if we're looking at that public money, obviously the sharp public splits always make some sense. You have to check into those. But Joe, I want to ask you this question. The opening line 3, we currently sit at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -2.5. Are we surprised where we sit at 2.5? And also the stagnation in the number where we're not getting a daily change here going up and down?
No, we're not. But I think we'll get some movement maybe heading into the weekend, Saturday, late into Sunday, right before kickoff. We might see 2s. We might even see 1.5s in regards to this matchup because it is Patrick Mahomes. I don't think we'll see 3 the rest of the week. I'd be shocked if Same. San Francisco money pushes this up to a key number where the books might be in terms of a disadvantage in regards to that number and assessment. We saw with Baltimore, it was a different type of situation because of, in my opinion, Lamar Jackson, MVP candidate, going up against Mahomes. If you didn't want to bet Mahomes, you could bet Lamar Jackson in terms of that public perception. That's why I thought you saw some late steam, four and a half in regards to that contest. I think we'll see this more at two. I really believe that because the more you think about it, it's Patrick Mahomes against potentially the best team. But I still think Brock Purdy, based off the last two performances where he's had to come from behind guys, that's been maybe a detriment in regards to the spread not getting up to three.
I'll tell you what's interesting about this, too, is, you know, from a Super Bowl perspective, look, you want to do your handicapping. You want to have your own input here, and then you want to cross-reference things, Joe, right? You want to see where the public's going, where the line movement is. But, Mike, I'm going to toss it to you on this one, which I think is really interesting. The Super Bowl, more than any other football game this year, is what for us here? It's a public event, which means so many more bets are going to come in the Super Bowl than, let's just say, week 13, week 14, or even the NFC or AFC championship game. Mike, when you're taking a look here at that spot, right, and you say there's so much public action, does that change your handicap at all, saying, whoa, a lot of public money coming in on this game, I better research my numbers?
I'd say yes to some extent. In general, not only is this just a public event, and a public event as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, it has an opportunity to be the most popular Super Bowl ever watched. A lot of people, it really is a Taylor Swift impact where you have people paying attention to football that perhaps are entering a sports betting market that they've never entered before because of other interests. So it does allow me to take a look at this. I think there's a lot of bets that are laid out in the Super Bowl, lines laid out in the Super Bowl, props and everything else that are sharp numbers, and people are more likely to bet overs. We all know public likes favorites and overs, and I think you have to really strongly consider, and something we talk about regularly on the network, Joe, even on a week-to-week basis, if you're going to be a sports bettor, particularly in the NFL, you have to get comfortable taking points and taking unders. You cannot be a favorite and over bettor exclusively.
Absolutely, and I think what you brought up as well, Donnie, and Mike, and what he brought up in regards to what we're discussing is public, right? We talk Taylor Swift. Those people aren't going to enter the market Friday, Saturday. They're going to enter the market on Sunday when they get to the house parties, when they're with their friends. They're not monitoring these markets the way we are 2 weeks ago as soon as the championship games were decided, right? And we want to get the key number. The public comes in late Sunday, 4 or 5 p.m., right before kick. All right, what are we going to bet as a whole or as a group? And that's where I think you'll see maybe more movement as it relates to this two and a half point number. And then I am curious to see how they perceive it from the total perspective, Donnie, because I'll go back to it again. I'm shocked that with Pat Mahomes and how explosive San Francisco has been in the playoffs in terms of just putting up 30-point performances, and we saw it again against Detroit, why this number hasn't really inched to 48, 48 and a half.
Yeah, the game script, right? And we've been spelling this out all week long because obviously it's more fun to bet the over, but as Mike's bringing up, it's not necessarily more profitable just to take overs. You might find yourself saying, you know what, I think the gameplay is going to be slow. I like Kansas City. They're going to win this football game. It's going to stay under. So the correlation in the market. Now let's have a little bit of fun this week, right? You take a look, and we always say to ourselves, okay, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, they're always in the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game. They're used to the biggest moments. Kyle Shanahan has been here twice. But you know what we're reading here out? You get to Las Vegas. What is San Francisco not happy with right off the bat? We don't like our practice field. Not firm enough, already a little bit in their head. Now, if anybody read any press clippings from even yesterday, there was a false fire alarm in the early morning, which kept them up for an extra 20 minutes, which Christian McCaffrey wasn't happy with. The distractions, I feel, Joe, easier for Kansas City because they've been there, done that, and does it factor in, say, maybe San Francisco's just angry this week?
And I think it does factor in, Donnie, and this is how we think and how I think. Fast and loose, baby. Uh-huh. Let's go into this ballgame fast and loose. They're upset. I want to utilize every weapon and I have right from the get-go. Maybe you look, and Donnie talked about it earlier in the week on this show, 23.5, a first-half number. We've seen that in multiple games for the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw a 17-7 game against Baltimore. We saw a 17-14 first-half number against the Buffalo Bills. And if San Francisco is going to start fast, that is the way to get Pat Mahomes out of his rhythm. Take Isaiah Pacheco completely, Donnie, out of this ball game. I like where you're thinking in regards to that, and that's why maybe if you do like the 47.5 like I do, back it up with the 23.5 first half number as well.
2 weeks to get prepared for this game, Mike, and this is what I love. You have two unbelievable game scripters here, two of the best offensive coordinators you're going to find in Kyle Shanahan and also Andy Reid. How are we looking at the first quarter? Are we looking, Mike, for a quick start in this ball game?
So last year, I took the first score in the first 5 minutes. Barely got there, 9 seconds left till that bet wasn't going to hit, but Jalen Hurts got into the end zone quickly. Because of the game script that I think is going to play out, which is heavy Pacheco, let's control the clock, keep San Francisco off the field, I wouldn't be surprised if we're 7 minutes in and we get a Harrison Butker field goal to kick things off. I could see that part being part of the game script, but then the teams will get comfortable. I keep coming back to this. I like the second half total being under the 23.5, but I have to agree with Joe. I don't think these offenses are going to be off to a particularly slow start. I think it's about Kansas City trying to control the clock. There's only so much you can do. I don't think this is a wildly dominant Chiefs performance. I just think they're going to try and keep San Francisco off the field. So I do like that first half over of 23.5. One more thing on the emotion you were talking about. I'm telling you, before that Ravens-Chiefs game, Baltimore was on fire, jumping around the sidelines, screaming and yelling at one another, and it didn't do anything.
No, but the one thing that Baltimore didn't do was second-half adjustments.
None.
And they did it from a defensive perspective. They did not do it from an offensive perspective.
Run the ball, right?
Well, not just run the ball, but utilize the weapons that you do have. We talked about OBJ not being a part of that offensive scheme until it was too late. Fourth quarter, about 8 minutes left. That's where they lost the matchup, not just in terms of the first half, but they never made offensive adjustments. And I think when you're talking about the under 23.5 point number, it is going to be critical to see how this first half plays out, because Kyle Shanahan, a great game scripter in terms of the first 15 plays, Donnie, but what does he do in terms of the second half? You could do it against Green Bay. You could do it against Detroit. If you're trailing at the half against Pat Mahomes, that's going to be a lot of pressure on Kyle Shanahan. And in the past, guys, he hasn't done
that. But you know what the interesting part about this game is, Joe, which, again, we sort of equate this, because the Super Bowl is a completely different entity. Now, Usher's going to be on at the half, which means extended halftime. You have two unbelievable play callers, two very good defenses and defensive coordinators, Joe. Play me this angle. Mm. Are we getting a new look at the first half in the second half, if that makes sense, which means you can come up with an entire new game plan at the half, Joe?
No, I agree. I thought you were going to ask me how long Usher's songs were.
Well, we're going to get to that.
We got
a whole number
hour.
He's got 13 minutes.
13 minutes. Now, that's a good point. Yeah. If I'm Shanahan, I am not going conservative in the second half of this matchup in any capacity. Lead, no lead. You have to go down utilizing every option because of the pressure. I mean, his resume, his everything is on the line for Kyle Shanahan. You cannot go in and just limp to the finish line and allow Patrick Mahomes to win his third Super Bowl and get outdueled by Andy Reid and out-schemed. I think the one thing that when you look at it, Spagnuolo and that secondary are only giving up 181 passing yards per game. Who's going to be the player that potentially steps up to maybe blow right through this 47.5 and then get this game out of Kansas City's MO? That is what I'm concerned about. And early on, in terms of the first quarter number, I might take a shot in terms of the first half number and first half, quarter total in this matchup.
Mike, I've talked about it a few times this week already. I really love the first half over 23.5. And it's not just one of those hunch plays that you have. The numbers bear the fruits there. Both of these football teams averaging at least 14 points in the first half. Now, Kansas City averaging around a touchdown in the second half, when you see the San Francisco 49ers still averaging around that 13, 14 points in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see if those tendencies do change. And Joe, just real quick on this. Tendencies is a look. Let's just say Kansas City gets that first kickoff. Are we looking at a 7.5-minute drive, an 8-minute drive, or do you want to see them get aggressive right out of the gate?
If you're Kansas City, I think it's better to be aggressive. You don't want to line up Pacheco and just run him into the line of scrimmage and maybe play for the field goal because of how explosive Brock Purdy and that offense have been in terms of come from behind back-to-back wins and because they do have more consistent offenses and playmakers, Donnie. So I would like to see Kansas City be a little more aggressive. That's how they built the 17-7 lead against the Baltimore Ravens. So that would be the way to attack it early on for me.
I can't wait to watch it play out, Mike. It's going to be so much fun and so long the way it goes. We started this conversation off talking about that 47.5 and where that's going to wind up. It seems like it's the perfect number. And I don't know if it's like a high five for the handicappers or should I say the odds makers that come up with the numbers. Mike, I think they nailed it.
Yeah, it's the sharpest number of all time. It's why it hasn't moved. Yeah. I would add to the coaching conversation, Steve Spagnuolo, excellent in the second half for years now. Both of these teams' opponents averaging less than 8 points a game in the second half. So maybe out to a quick start, and we check each other in the second half. When we come back, we'll close out the first hour of Pro Football Today live from Las Vegas.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Pro Football Today. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, Mike Blewett, Joe Lisi. The NFL yesterday had their awards ceremony, and more hot debate coming out of this than I would have anticipated. I thought the real stunner, certainly from the odds angle, Mike, was comeback player of the year going to Joe Flacco instead of DeMar Hamlin.
He played five games. I don't really understand what the award is about. Everybody, it's up to everybody to decide how they vote these awards. And in fact, Flacco trailed quite a bit by first place votes, Joe. So it was people leaving DeMar Hamlin off the ballot completely that gave Flacco the award.
Yeah, I don't really have that big of a problem with Flacco because he did step up with multiple 300-yard performances, lead the Cleveland Browns when they were dead and buried to a playoff spot. The problem that I have, I think, in terms of the awards, Stefanski and not D'Amico Ryans potentially being coach of the
year. Right, we have three Browns winning the award. Donnie, they closed this out because the defense was dominant in Myles Garrett. Stefanski did a great job because he had four quarterbacks, but Flacco playing five games, he threw a million interceptions.
Yeah, that's the interesting one here, right? The hot topic that you're taking a look at is DeMar Hamlin, because we were led to believe from the odds market when initially opened up, you're an idiot for taking anybody else, even though how the season played out. As long as DeMar Hamlin, A, didn't get cut, at least made a practice squad, and maybe took a picture in a Bills jersey, he was going to be the comeback player of the year. Now, you're right about that. Different people vote different ways on how they differentiate who's actually going to be the comeback player of the year. I don't have a problem with Joe Flacco being there. I'm actually just surprised that it wasn't Hamlin just because wasn't it supposed to be him right away?
Yes, the odds said it was going to be. My thing is, if you weren't voting for DeMar, to Mike's point, like I probably would have gone Baker Mayfield. Baker was left for dead, supposed to be benched for Kyle Trask, and he's now going to get a huge bag this offseason. By the way, luckily for Ravens fans, I can't spend much time talking about Lamar winning MVP undeservingly this go-around because an Eagle got robbed because apparently all of these are just team awards now. The Eagles closed bad, the Texans closed hot, so Will Anderson wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. I just don't even know what we are doing. Taylor Swift is up next. Imagine if he was here. Ooh, that'd be hot.